The question is, when you have a few moments to talk to people that you don't talk to every day, and you want to impart the most relevant message that you possibly can, and you really don't know when the next time you're going to be invited is, so you want to accomplish, you know, whatever you can in that one short session. So I think that there are two issues that are paramount, I would say, like the most important and most significant and the most concerning that we have in life. Issue number one, I would in one word summarize as happiness. Issue number two, I would summarize as, well, the harsh word is suffering. The nicer words for it, challenges, you know, obstacles, problems, you know, interference. You can make up some nice words, but basically it boils down to suffering. These are the two major concerns, because everybody wants to be happy. That's for sure. Never met a person who doesn't want to be happy. Maybe people have some weird ideas as what happiness is and what's going to make them happy, but everyone wants to be happy. And nobody, or let's say most nobody, unless they're on such a level like that's, you know, almost superhuman, wants to suffer. You know, we'd like to get away with as much of the suffering in life as we can. The strange part of life is that happiness is very elusive. It seems to be running away from us. And suffering is very easy to find and very prevalent and seems to be running after us so often, so many times. So the thing we want the most seems to be running away, seems to be slipping through our fingers. And the thing we want the least seems always to be right there to oblige and to help us and to, you know, become part of our lives. So I think a perspective on these two things could be helpful, and maybe in a short message that maybe could have some benefit. So first of all, talk about happiness for a few moments. I believe the biggest problem with happiness and the biggest reason that people are not or do not seem to be finding happiness to their satisfaction in many, if not most cases, is because they really don't know what it is and they don't know what they're looking for. And unless we have a realistic, true, workable, understandable definition of happiness, we could search and pursue and run and attempt and just, you know, miss it. And I think the best definition that I know, and actually early this morning, I think it was, I was listening to someone speaking about this topic, and a distinguished person, but I don't think that people define it as clearly and as accurately. David HaMelech said, "Achas shoalti me'eis Hashem oiso avakesh, shivti be'eis Hashem." He had one request. I ask one thing of Hashem. I want to sit be'eis Hashem. He meant the Beis HaMikdosh, maybe the Beis Mikdosh Ma'at in which we're sitting, in the Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses, but shivti be'eis Hashem. That's all that he wants out of life. And David HaMelech, later on in Tehillim, says, "Ashrei yoshvei be'eisecho." Happy is the one who sits in your house. So the greatest aspiration of his life was to sit be'eis Hashem. And when one sits be'eis Hashem, he has osher, happiness. And in Loshon Kodesh, if we look at the root of the word, the three-letter root, we get not just an idea that somebody decided to call that, but we get the essence, the definition of the concept, the divine definition of the concept, the definition of the concept which preceded creation, and based on that definition, everything exists in this world. And the Aleph, Shin, Resh, root of Osher, Ashrei, it seems to be that means validation. You know, you get a Yeshur on your passport, they stamp, They validate it. They make it real. They make it happen. It's validation. Really what validation means is, if a person is validated, he feels good about himself. I am validated. I've been established as real, the thing, accomplished. That's me. I'm worthy. I'm worth it. It's what today they call it self-esteem. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I feel good about myself. Happiness is defined as feeling good about myself. And that's a very extremely important concept, because ultimately, if I feel good about myself, everything's fine. I don't need anything else. I don't feel a void inside. I don't constantly crave all kinds of other things to fill up the emptiness. I whatever I have, I could be Ezehu Osher, which is not Osher, that's with an Ayin, Hasumeach Bechelko. I'm happy because I feel good about myself. So I believe that's what happiness is. And with that definition, at least we could pursue the things that make us feel good about ourselves. Now, it just so happens that all of the material, physical pleasures of the world are not the source and do not bring happiness. Why? Because if I become dependent upon outside sources of pleasure, then I'm sending myself a subtle message. You're not valid. You're not worthy. You're not worth much. You need all of that to get through the day. You need all of that to be okay with your existence. I have to be more than okay with my existence without any input from the outside. I have to feel good about myself. So pleasure is, if anything, antithetical. It's almost the opposite of happiness. And dependence and pursuit, a life in pursuit of materialism and sensual pleasures and everything that the pleasure capitals of the world offer us, is really the cause of people not being happy. Because they send themselves the message that I within myself am not worthy, am not valid, I need all of that. So I think that's where that happens.
What's that?
I say that since what happens today is everybody's into pursuit of pleasure. Pursuit of pleasure. We want this, that, the other. All the Madison Avenue, all they do is tickle our pleasure fancy all day long. Now, when we're in the pursuit of pleasure, the message that we send ourselves is that I'm not valid in and of myself. I need this from the outside, that from the outside, the other thing from the outside. I need it twice a day, I need it three times a day, and all day long. I need it tomorrow, I need the best thing, I need more than my friend. I have to keep going, and I have another one. The car I have is not good enough, and the house I have is not good enough, and the food I have is not good enough, the drink I have is not good enough, and this and that. I need more, and whatever it is, whether it's healthy things or unhealthy things, but the pursuit of pleasure does not give the message to me that I am valid. If anything, it gives the message to me that I'm not, and I'm needy of all of this in order to get through the day, in order to survive. So, but now, when we talk about happiness, and we talk about the sense of feeling good about myself, it seems to me that there's one feeling, one, I would say it's a feeling, it's a knowledge, it's a combination, that unless I have that, I can't really feel good about myself. And for that, I say, I guess the best example is, I walk into my shrink's office, okay? And I say, Doc, I have no purpose in living. Now, if my shrink is wise, he will make sure that before I leave his office, he has a suicide watch in place. Why? Because a person who feels no purpose in living, what am I here for? What's the point? What do I need it for? That person is not necessarily suicidal when he walks out the door, but he does not have that sense of good feeling about himself because he doesn't have a purpose. What could invalidate a human being more than a sense that I have no purpose? I'm useless. I'm worthless. I'm nothing. Can't feel good about myself. I have no purpose. And if you don't feel good about yourself, you have no purpose. So sometimes, and it's very unlikely, but it's possible, but it's certainly worthy of being concerned about, what's the point of living? I'll throw myself in front of a car and get it over with now because I have no purpose being here anyway. And that so invalidates when you have a sense of purpose. Now, I could choose my purpose, could make up a purpose. The danger of that is twofold. Number one, I can undershoot the purpose. You know, and that a lot of people do. They choose a lowly purpose for their lives and they say, I have purpose. You know, the example I always like to give, in fact, maybe in this very Beis Medrash, I gave this example a few years ago because I have this recollection that I spoke here, that my job is to eradicate the cockroaches on Hungry Harbor Drive. That's my purpose. Now, you know, that's a purpose, and I raise a lot of money for that purpose too. But at some point, I think to myself, I said, you know, maybe there's a higher purpose in life that I could live up to. Maybe I can accomplish more. And then I become frustrated because one of the worst feelings that a human being can have is the sense that I have a higher purpose, I can accomplish more, I should have and really by right should be focused on higher level goals, and I'm wasting it on cockroaches. It doesn't sit well. And even if in the conscious level, the money and the enjoyment and sometimes the fame and the whatever else I may have can cover it over, but subconsciously and eventually it hits the emotions and eventually it hits the... Nah, this is not. So, but there's another problem with purpose too. Even if I chose a higher level purpose, I want to make sure that I get the right purpose. I want to make sure that I get the purpose for which I was put into this world in the first place. Because if I'm not fulfilling my purpose, then what's the point? How can I feel good about myself if I fulfill your purpose? There's no self, there's no meaning, there's no good, there's no purpose. It's not my purpose. And, of course, the next step is quite obvious. The only one who knows the true purpose of any creation is the manufacturer. And I must be able to consult the manufacturer to find out the purpose of his creation. I see somebody in the back consulting the manufacturer already. Okay, that's what I have to do. So this is really, I think, a very basic idea. And this is why it's a compelling for a person who truly wants to be happy, and I believe that's everybody, to find if there exists, and the secret is there does exist, the manual from the manufacturer and consult that manual to find out what's the point of it all, what's the purpose. Unfortunately, and this is in an aside, sometimes in our educational process, we don't emphasize the purpose. We emphasize a lot of details, we emphasize a lot of information, but we're not necessarily focused so much on the purpose. And in my mind, there's a correlation between how much focus we have on purpose and how much happiness we have in the process of education. If we perceive that our education is educating us to the purpose of my existence, then it becomes a happy process. Then it becomes something that I can appreciate because it's making me feel good about myself. So that's one aspect of this discussion, and I think it's a message that can be very helpful in at least motivating us to want to see, to want to know, to want to find, to want to seek out and search for the true purpose, which only the manufacturer knows for sure. Then comes the other issue, and that's the issue of obstacles in life, challenges in life, interference in life, mountains that are in front of us that we have to scale to be able to get to the other side. And in short, painful terminology, that's called suffering. That's what it is. Life has, no one is immune to suffering. Some do more and some do less. Some take it harder, some take it easier. Some can handle it, some can't handle it at all. But nobody's immune. There's no immunity, there's no insurance policy against the vicissitudes of life the difficulties of life, the challenges of life, and the suffering that that people sometimes have to go through. And to be very prepared for those challenges, that preparation, to be best prepared for those challenges, that preparation has to happen early on. You know, I always think that if you take a person who's meduka b'yisurim, he's plagued with all types of suffering. You walk in and you visit him, he's sitting there, and you tell him, wow, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life. I'm going to tell you all about Hashem's chesed. I'm going to tell you all about everything Hashem does is for the good. Now, all of that is true, except for one thing. He's not in the mood nor in the position to be able to hear it too well at this stage of his life. Because right now I'm in pain. Right? You know, give me a painkiller. Don't tell me about the benefits of pain. And that's a very realistic insight into the normal, the natural reaction of people. Therefore, it's very important that early on, hopefully our children, before they're introduced to the difficulties of life, but if not, then ourselves, before we face them head on, should, as soon as we possibly can, have a perspective on the challenges of life, so that when they do, and inevitably they will to some extent, hopefully they shouldn't, but that's life, come our way, we'll be prepared for a perspective, with a perspective, to be able to cope with them. And I think that that perspective is really connected to the first part of our discussion. Because if happiness is about feeling good about oneself, and if to feel good about oneself, one must have a sense of purpose. And to find one's purpose, one must connect with the manufacturer in some way to get the manual which describes the purpose for which he created this entity. Then I have to look towards the manufacturer to see how the difficulties in life, which everything comes from him, he's the manufacturer, he manufactured life, he manufactured us, he manufactured circumstances, situation, he's the manufacturer of history, he's the manufacturer of human interaction, he's the manufacturer of everything except human free choice, and even how human free choice impacts one on another, he's also the manufacturer. Interestingly, in Sholem Rov, in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Ki hu adoin hasholem. He's the master of peace. Well, the master of peace, the master of everything. He's the Adoin HaKol. That's what the Shem HaShem means. But even peace, which would seem to have to do with the free choice between two people, I could choose to be your friend or not to be your friend, I could choose to be arguing with you or not arguing with you, even that, even though he gives us the free choice, he has the ability to cause and effect, misabiv the sibois, and circumstances and situation, and put thoughts into our mind and circumstances that occur. And so he's the master of all. So I want to know, like, this master of all, who has created the world with a purpose, and that purpose being, as he's told us in his manual, and the purpose of that purpose is really ultimately happiness, happiness in this world, and happiness, I mean, if you read the Maseilas Yesharim and you take it out of context, the Maseilas Yesharim says, Ha'odom lo nivro ela lehisanek. Man was created for pleasure. He's not talking about physical pleasures, because he says, don't stop after those words, lehisanek al Hashem, because he understood that it's my connection with Hashem that brings the ultimate pleasure, that brings the ultimate fulfillment, that brings the ultimate happiness. Now, if that's what he wants, then what's this suffering all about? So the truth of the matter is that suffering could be understood on many levels, and it has many benefits, and many said about the benefits of suffering, loy mi uktzech, loy mi dushech. You know, I'm moichel the thorns, the suffering, even the good. I don't want to have to go through this suffering in this world. But it's inevitable. Oftentimes, we can't really always avoid it. And therefore, we have to have a way of a perspective with which to cope with it. And I think that perspective is best understood as everything is about bringing us closer to Hashem. And because David HaMelech said, V'ani kirvas Elokim litoiv, closest to Hashem, that's the ultimate good. That is the good of my life. That is good. That relationship that I have with Hashem. The relationship that I have with Hashem is the most validating. Because I have relationship with my creator, my maker, with the one who created me for a purpose. In that context of that relationship, I can know and fulfill that purpose. And my relationship with him is the ultimate validation. Because you know who my best friend is? The Creator himself. Wow. The Creator is my best friend. Me and him, we're tight. We're like this. If there could be any validation in the world, that's the greatest validation. So that relationship can be the source of ultimate happiness. Now, if that's the case, the suffering does what? Well, you know what the suffering does? You see, unfortunately, in life, we take things for granted. When it's good, when it's rough, that's when we turn to Hashem. And sometimes the roughness, the toughness, the obstacles, the suffering, that cruel word, is there for the purpose of just bringing us, awaking us up and saying, hey man, what are you doing with your life? There's a God in the world. There's a creation. There's a purpose for creation. There's an opportunity for the ultimate happiness in this world and the ultimate bliss of to be Nanamiziv Ashchina, to connect and bask in the brilliance of the presence of Hashem for an eternal life. So, like, what are you doing? Why are you missing the point? Why are you not in line with the program? Why don't you get on board? Why don't you? And this really could be, I think, graphically described in a medrash that says as follows. The medrash says, Lomo nesakruho imohis. Why were the imohis barren? They didn't have children for a long time. Even Leah was supposed to be an akora. She wasn't supposed to have children, except the pasuk says, Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah, vayiftach es rachmo. Because of the status that she had and the friction between her and Rochel, so there it's vayiftach es rachmo. So there she was granted a child. But really the Masorah, Rivka, Rochel, they waited many, many long years till they had children. So Chazal want to know, Lomo nesakru imohis. So Chazal answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfilos shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the tfilos of the tzadikim. Now, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have cravings. That's what I know about him. And I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the tfilos of the tzadikim. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything. So, what are we talking about? The Teretz is quite obvious. We're talking about he craves the tefillahs of tzaddikim because it's for the tzaddikim's benefit. He doesn't crave it for his benefit. The praises that we offer him are insults. I saw many years ago from the Vilna Gaon. Imagine that the President of the United States would walk into this room and say, welcome President of the Beis Medrash. They say he may like a Beis Medrash, I don't know, but besides, I'm not sure these days. But anyway, but welcome President of the Beis Medrash. I'm the President of the United States of America, and Hawaii and Alaska too is part of that, you know? And you call me President of this little Beis Medrash? It's an insult. When we praise Hashem, it's insult. Any hasoga, any concept that we can have of his greatness is so minuscule that it's really an insult. So why does he want it? Because we gain from it. We grow from it. We connect with him from it. We have a deeper understanding of Hashem. We can feel closer to him, more appreciative, more love of him, more connected to him, and more fulfillment in our own self-worth, in our own sense of feeling good about ourselves. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfilos shel tzaddikim. And that's why the Imohis Sarah had to wait till 90 years old to cry and pray every day, because she elevated herself each day. Every day she came closer and closer to Hashem, crying out, machmas the need. You know, the Pasuk says, Shivchi kamayim li beich noichach b'nei Hashem. Pour forth like water your heart. Neuchach, neuchach, loshen neuchach means I'm standing right in front of you. So one of my children once said, maybe that's the pshat. It doesn't say lifnei Hashem. It says neuchach bnei Hashem. It says kol hashorim nina luchutz mishari dimo. All the gates sometimes can be closed, except the gates of tears. The gates of tears are always open. So when we shivchi kamayim libech, when we cry out from our hearts, it's neichach b'nei Hashem, you're standing right in front of Hashem. There's no gates, there's no interference, there's no separation, there's nothing preventing you from getting front and center. That's why it's neichach b'nei Hashem. Anyway, so I want to suggest as follows. If I were designing the world, Baruch Hashem, I'm not, but if I was designing the world, I would have designed it a little bit different. I would have said, you know, Sarah's suffering so much. And she knows she's supposed to have this Yerush, and the future of the world is going to depend upon the Yerusha that Avraham Avinu and Sarah pass on to the future generations. I would have given her a child at 60 and said, Sarah, do me a favor. I really wanted you to wait till 90 so that you should get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to Hashem. Say Hallel from 60 to 90, and we'll accomplish the same thing. In the meantime, Yitzchok will be 30 years old by the time you get to that point, and you'll have a simcha, you'll have a bris, and a bar mitzvah, and a chasana, everything will be wonderful. You know. So, that's what I would have done. Baruch Hashem, I'm not the designer. But what's wrong with that design? And I think what's wrong with that design, with all due respect to Sora, not to insinuate that she would be guilty on a guilt level, but on a very slight, ever so slight, darkest sticker level. What happens when you get what you want? Oh, the first week, woo, 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 what a hallel, not shaykh. The second week, maybe half hallel, we'll leave out those two paragraphs. The third week, nah, hallel, I said already hallel, maybe I'll just do a hoidu. The fourth week, I said already hoidu and hallel, shkoyach, and after that, it's all forgotten. When I'm in need, I don't forget about Hashem. I can't afford to forget about Hashem. I'm constantly beseeching Him. Shivchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem. I come in the closest proximity, face to face with Him. But once He delivers, after a while, you know, I forget. After a while, and that's the worst thing. That's what happens when we forget. And I believe that's the reason that the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says that there's a very big skula that if a person has a tzora and he's makabel, that when the tzora is resolved, he's going to say nishmas in front of a minyan. So he says, harbe nitzoylu derechze. Many people were saved from tzoras with this commitment. And what's the reason? I think the reason is poshut. Because Hashem sometimes keeps us in suffering, keeps us in challenge, keeps us in tight straits, because that way we will be connected to Him. We'll be every day nisabel etfilos and shel tzadikim, and it's not only tzadikim. Every day, every day, every day. The minute He grants us, it's a hallel, then it's a half hallel, then it's a oidu, then it's a shkoyach, and it's all over. When I have a tzora, I say Rabbeinu Shalom. When you deliver me from this tzora, I will gather together a minyan and recite Nishmas Kol Chai Tivorech Shimcha and declare for the whole world that this is all from you. I will not forget that it came from you. I will not let myself lose it. And that maybe is a schus that picks up for the only reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not want to grant us, or one of the reasons He might not want to grant us the relief from that difficulty, because otherwise we're going to forget about Him. So I think that this is really a bit of a perspective on these two issues. And I think that if we can maintain the focus on feeling good about ourselves, the focus on what our purpose in life is, the focus on knowing that purpose and being sure that the purpose comes to us directly from the manufacturer Himself, and the realization that the whole purpose of the challenges of life is to maintain that closeness with the manufacturer and reconnect with Him on an ongoing basis. And then I would just suggest one thing. The more that we maintain that connection on our own, maybe, I can't promise, I can't say, I don't know how everything works in this world, but maybe He'll have less need to put us through the difficulties of life. Because what are you putting me through the difficulties of life? I'm connected. I stand there. I'm right in front of you. I'm neichach b'nei Hashem. Even before the difficulties, there's so much. I daven for other people's difficulties. I observe your mitzvahs. I study your Torah. I do everything. I want to remain. I want to get closer and closer to you. I want to fulfill the purpose for which you created the world. And maybe he'll say that, oh, you know something? You're doing so well getting close to me. Maybe I don't have to give you this outside influence to make it happen even more. Anyway, that's the story, gentlemen. I wish you a lot of hatzloch in everything you do. And we should...